It's good to be back in the podium today, back behind the pulpit, and like that preacher said, I'm fired up today, so okay. So let's see what the Lord has for us. And I had to apologize to Jennifer when I texted her with all the scriptures. I said, it's been 3 weeks, you know, it's been a while. So anyways, all right, she just puts them up there. So, but hopefully have your Bibles, iPhones, whatever you've got. Let's begin with 1 Kings. Oh, you know what? Before I start, we got one more testimony. I forgot. I love testimonies. Brother Brandon, Sue, come on down right quick. Brandon, would you hand her the microphone? Yes. I need to, Lutine, we're telling your testimony, oh, yes. Okay, of what God did. We need to hear testimonies like this.
I'm going to sing of the goodness of the Lord today. Remember that when Mother was here the last time, she was having the twinges in her heart. And Pastor miraculously listened to the Lord and stopped and prayed for her. Teresa laid her hands on her. She hasn't had one more problem with that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Several months back, we went to have her Doppler done on her arteries. They were at 80% blockage, and they were talking about doing a stent and all that stuff, and they couldn't decide because of her age and blah, 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 blah. We went back Monday, and praise God, because of all the prayers of our precious friends and family, the Lord touched her. There, that blockage is down to 60, 70%. And I want to praise God for that miracle that he's performed over her. And I thank him so much.
Amen. Give it to Brother Brandon. Praise God. What a testimony. God is so good. God is so good. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19. Follow along here. We're going to begin with verse 8, okay? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. And we're speaking about Elijah. And he, speaking of Elijah, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, and Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life and to take it away. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. But after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And we find then where God did begin to speak to him at that point. Now, I want us to look at another scripture here real quick at the beginning. And it's from 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 22. Speaking of David. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God. Now, we're not going to put the other scriptures up that I'm fixing to kind of go over, but the scriptures begin to tell us of all of those then who came to join David's army to support him. Now, let me just read over this just real very quickly, kind of give you an idea of who gathered there with David. The children of Judah, 6,800, that bear shields and spears, ready and armed to war. And then of the children of Simeon, 7,100 mighty men of valor for the war. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites. With him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young mighty man of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin, 3,000. And the children of Ephraim, 22,800. Mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000. Can you imagine the number? And that was just half of the folks. It goes on as you read, the other tribes gather together. Now, I want you to listen to this, because what I'm going to mention next doesn't sound very important. And it doesn't even sound like it should be in this portion of Scripture, because these people were not the most skilled soldiers. They're not mentioned because they have been trained in how to throw a spear or how to use a sword. They had one skill and one skill only, yet it was that skill that made them indispensable to David's army. And that skill that made them indispensable, they were the sons of Issachar, the Scripture says. Look at verse 32 with me. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were the men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all of their brethren were at their commandment. Now, I believe one of the most important things for a minister is to be able to discern the times. Understand everything about our life and about life in general deals with timing. Discernment in this hour is the most critical requirement of all of our senses. Why? Because discernment and understanding of the times will give us the advantage in those spiritual battles that we fight, guess what, sometimes on a daily basis, Brandon. David had many courageous and skilled soldiers in his army. Many were highly skilled in different areas of warfare. But then he had the sons of Issachar. Understand, they were not skilled warriors, but their weapon was this: they understood the seasons. This was their skill, and this was what made them necessary. And because they had such an understanding of the times, they knew exactly what to do at exactly the right time. Can I just tell you here at the beginning of my message today, one of the most important things in your life and mine is knowing the season that you're in and knowing what to do in that season. So the title of my message today is Don't Miss Your Season. Our survival then is being determined today by our ability to discern the times that we're in. Many people respond spontaneously to the pressures around them. And many times their response is completely wrong, because they are reacting, guess what, out of their feelings and out of their human emotions and out of their human logic. And that's why the sons of Issachar was so important. They were David's secret weapon, if you please, because they had a spiritual discernment that came from God. And this discernment then enabled them to see beyond the natural and to see beyond the scenes. And this supernatural ability gave them the advantage then over the enemy, Brother Gary, because they were not controlled or dominated by what they saw in the natural. Now, because they had this supernatural ability to know the times and then what actions to take based on that knowledge, they often looked foolish to those around them. Understand with me, that's what faith does, Brother Tony. In Jesus' name. Many times, when you're acting in faith, it will look foolish to those around you. Did you know that? How foolish was it for Mike and Teresa to put the money out to rent a building, hoping that people would come? I love their motto, they're going big or bust. But I'm telling you, God honored them. Powerful, powerful time. It left an imprint here in the city. Your words will sound out of place. They'll be talking about the terrible drought, and you'll be talking about hearing the sound of the abundance of rain. They'll be talking about fear and worry and anxiety and shortages and lockdowns and restrictions. And you're going to be talking about revival and miracles and sounds and signs and wonders. Come on, somebody. They'll be talking about shutting down. You're going to be talking about ramping up. They're going to be talking about toning it down. You're going to be talking about turning it up. They'll be talking about darkness. They'll be talking about gross darkness. You're going to be talking about shining with the glory and the power of Almighty God. They're going to be talking about hiding out in fear, but you're going to be talking about standing up and speaking out in boldness. And many times when those with the gift of discernment speak, they sound like they're in a total different environment than you are in. And that's because they are in a different place. They are seeing and they're speaking from the spiritual realm. They're seeing from the prophetic, and the prophetic sees where we're going. And the prophetic very often speaks as though we're there already. That's how the prophetic works. It looks into a valley of shattered, very dry bones, and it calls it a living army. It looks at a widow woman's empty pots and sees her with her own oil business. It looks at two fishes and five loaves of bread and sees a banquet for over 5,000. Faith looks at empty nets and sees a catch that will almost sink a boat. It looks at a cloudless sky and it sees a rainstorm. I've said all of that to say this. Many times the Lord moves in ways that seem illogical. Are you hearing me today? That means it does not make sense to the natural mind. And many times God will call upon His children to speak and act in a way that goes counter and crossways to the conventional wisdom of the day. Especially to denominational folks. And I want to say something to you that may sound crazy, but here goes. It says, while Elijah was in the cave, there was a great wind and a fire and an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in any of those. Can I just tell you that the devil is so afraid of what happens in that secret place of hiding with God that he will do anything and he will use anyone any way he can to get you out of your secret place. Why do you suppose that is? It's because he can't come in there to get you. He can only try to entice you to come out of your secret place. Listen to what Job said in Job 28, verses 7 and 8. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Listen, the greatest threat to the devil and his plans to kill, steal, and destroy are not the generals and the commanders of the branches of our military today. And it's not in great politicians. And amazingly, it's not even in great preachers. I will tell you what hell fears the most, and he hates and even trembles in their presence. It's those cave dwellers. It's those who know the pathway to the secret place of the Most High God. It's those who have found their place in a cleft in the rock. And they won't be shaken. I think we heard that today. Can I just tell you that we're in an hour where I believe the Holy Spirit is wooing and He's calling His children to that secret place in Him and to close the door behind you. Now, I had this message before last night. You got to know that. But I was so happy because we just kept confirming it over and over. Close the door to shut out the world and all of the chaos and confusion and all the fears and anxiety and the stress. But more importantly, to close the door to be shut in with Him, the lover of our soul. He's calling us, I believe, now more than ever before to a place of solitude, a place of stillness, a place of quietness and rest. But most importantly, we heard it last night, to a place of intimacy. And yes, in the middle of our very busy lives, Brandon. Yeah. Let me just ask you, how long has it been since you were alone with the Holy Spirit in that place of intimacy as a bride with her groom or with her groom? For too long we've been swept away from Him by the cares of this life and caught up in the whirlwind of life's matters. And yes, with social media and all of its platforms, sadly the bad has outweighed the good. When you see how time with it has almost completely replaced the intimate time with a family unit. Can you say amen? And then for many who claim to be in the church, we find we've not had time nor made time for the intimate conversations and times of deep fellowship and silent communion that the Holy Spirit so desires with us. I'm here to tell you that if we will determine to make the time to be alone with God, the Spirit of the Lord will visit you and He will cover you and He will protect you when you need protecting. And He will pour His love upon you. And He will shower you with His blessings. And He will come near to you and will sow His seeds of love right before you. What the world needs now more than ever is true lovers of God, Brandon. Those who can lead the way back into the Father's embrace. So understand with me, the real battle that rages is for the heart. And it's not for the territory of the United States that Satan is warring for, but it's the heart of America. That is the prize that he's after. You've heard it preached in times past that the worshipers must transform into warriors. But this morning I'm here to tell you that only the worshipers can truly be the warriors. And it's only those who have walked the pathway of intimacy who will be able to face the enemy of their soul and cast him down and cast him out. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord will draw near to you and He'll draw near to me and He will cover us and He'll clothe us with His presence. He will anoint those anew with His power that desire to get away and spend with the time with the one who redeemed them. Praise God. Need I remind us, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of my soul, knows this very well. And he has employed everything at his disposal to steal you away from your first love. Can you say amen? That being the Lord Jesus. We're either too busy, too tired, or too distracted by the enemy. Watch us now. Allowing the enemy to make us focus on all the wrong things. Spending hours reading and searching out to see what others are doing right or wrong. And it's all a trick to keep us away from what we need to be doing in the first place. And that is simply spending time in the secret place with the lover of your soul. The good news today is the Lord of Lords, the Spirit of the Lord Almighty is ready and waiting to fight for you, and he's ready to fight for me, Brandon. Because guess what? You are the apple of his eye. You, Sue, are his chosen and his purchased possession, and he's jealous over you all the day. Understand with me, there is no doubt that this really is the season of wars and rumors of wars, and we must be bold and courageous in our stand against evil. And yet the Holy Spirit is saying today, this is also the season for coming back to divine intimacy with him. And that's what the devil is afraid of. He's afraid of the cave dwellers, those separated, those consecrated ones who have been in the face of God till you can see God in their faces. And that's the season that we're in right now. And if we miss that, we've missed it all. Would you say after me, I'm not going to miss it. I understand the season I'm in. And I know what to do. Listen, if you have the slightest touch of the gift that was upon the sons of Issachar, then you know the secret place has been vacant too long. And the only church that is going to stand against hell in this last day is the church that has been with God. I'm here this morning to tell New Life Family, this is the time to be with God. The secret place will become that sacred place, and the sacred place will become the desired place. And when that happens, you will not only experience protection, but you're also going to have an anointing of power. In 2 Samuel again, chapter 5 and verse 17, we find David was anointed to be king over Israel. And the Bible says that when the Philistines heard of it, they came to seek him out. They came out to challenge him. And when David was anointed king, his problems did not go away. Understand with me, the anointing is not a problem exemption power. You're still going to have flat tires. You may still lose your keys because you didn't put them in the right place. The anointing is power to confront the problem. Yes. The fact of the matter is this. When David was anointed king, his problems got bigger. And when David was anointed with a fresh anointing, and when David was anointing with another level of anointing, his problems multiplied. Now, I don't want this to discourage you. Some people are like, hey, if my problems are going to get worse, I don't even want to think about a greater anointing. No, the way you should look at it is this. When the bigger problems come, you're anointed with a bigger than anointing. Or could we say a greater than anointing? Would you look at somebody and say, I have a greater than anointing upon me? Why? Because it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is the divine, supernatural equipment, Michael, for everything that we need. The anointing is not for shouting and dancing and goosebumps. And I love those. And don't mistake for what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the anointing is calm and placid and relaxed. On the contrary, I believe anywhere the anointing shows up, there's going to be activity. Amen. Something is going to happen. You can't sit down and eat a hamburger with those two. Y'all know who I'm talking about. They're on the third bench right there in the aisle. And we ordered a kid's meal, and I couldn't finish the hamburger. I was shaking too bad on the inside. God did a number, and it was just because we were having a good time talking about God. I'm just saying the anointing is far more than just emotionalism. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is that supernatural equipment to destroy the works of the devil. Here's what Isaiah said. The anointing is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder, and his yoke from off of thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I believe that we should expect that every time we gather together, the yokes will be destroyed. Bondages will be broken. Bodies will be healed. And that is exactly what will happen if the Holy Spirit has His way. Amen. I'm just going to obey the Lord because I felt this come to my mind earlier as we were worshiping. Did anybody come in with a headache this morning? With a major headache? Anybody come in? Just a headache. Just a headache came in. Okay. All right. God said He's going to take care of that, whatever it is. What happens, those veins, they need to expand, don't they? Let the blood flow in that. Hallelujah. Let's determine we're not going to let our level of expectation for the supernatural, miracle working, glory and power of God get below the full line. We need to check that stick every day. Amen. Now, I don't do that in the natural, and I've paid for it. My little sweet car out there is paid for. It's just a clacking away. One of them cylinders just ain't working, and it's clacking, and I'm going to go as far as I can with it. Because I love not having a car payment. Amen. At the very least, if there aren't any sick that need to be healed, we should be experiencing the fire of His presence that shifts and elevates us to new levels of His glory and His presence every time we meet together, Brandon. And I'm telling you, we got into the slow songs this morning, and it was deep in here, I'm telling you, to the very last song. Now, I'm just getting started. Are y'all okay? Now, my clock says 10 after 11. Am I okay? I think it might be a little later. I think my watch stopped. I promise I didn't turn it back. I don't know what it is. The little hand was sticking out, so that's what stopped it. So, all right, don't tell me what time it is. I'm just going to finish up. It's y'all's fault. Okay. Hallelujah. We should be experiencing fresh baptisms of the Holy Ghost and fire every time we meet together. There should be such a hunger and thirst and craving, listen, for the glory of God that we will not be satisfied, Brother Tony, with anything less than the tangible and manifestation of His presence. And the indisputable truth is you will only get what you are willing to reach for. Did you hear what I just said? Hopefully this doesn't happen, but if you can live without it, guess what? You will live without it. You've got to understand hunger is the magnet that draws the presence of God. Hunger is the thermometer that God uses to check our spiritual temperature. Our hunger is a prophecy. Remember Jesus' own words. He declared that the hungry, those that hunger and thirst, shall be filled. You will be filled in exact proportion to the intensity of your hunger. So since hunger then is the rule God uses to pour His Spirit out, we should be asking God then to increase our hunger, Sister Linda, and our desire. And it is in His presence then that we are anointed with His power. And if there was ever a time when we needed the power of God, guess what? It's right now and in the days to come. When David received this level of anointing to be king, he immediately showed up on the devil's radar screen. He showed up as a threat to the devil. And until your anointing, you don't really even show up on the devil's radar screen. And why? Because you're no threat to hell. Understand with me, it is the anointing that makes you dangerous to hell. It is the anointing that gives the devil nightmares. The anointing is visible in the spiritual realm. Remember, the devil recognizes the anointing because the anointing is the same power that kicked him out of heaven. Amen. Everything Jesus did, every miracle, every healing, every deliverance was by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember this verse in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? With power, who went about doing good and healing all that were, not one or two, what does it say? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I believe that every believer, every born-again child of God, every blood-washed, spirit-filled Christian should be asking and should be actively seeking and passionately pursuing a new level of anointing. Why? Because we need it. You may not understand it, but the truth is, there are different ranks and there are different levels of demons in the kingdom of darkness. And the devil knows his time is short, so he's given it all he's got against especially the saints of God, even more than in the past. Hear me now. A nonchalant, haphazard, half-hearted, lukewarm relationship with God is not going to cut it anymore. Would you look at somebody and say, it ain't going to cut it? I'm convinced now more than ever that if we don't learn the secret of living from the secret place, we are not going to make it. I'm going to live in the secret place. Psalm 91 is a covenant of blessings and promises that are only between God and those who live in and from the secret place. You can't claim Psalm 91 unless you're living in Psalm 91. And it's from this secret place that we become the anointed of the Lord. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is standard operating equipment for a child of the Most High God. The anointing is not just the feeling of His wonderful presence of the Lord. Though we're thankful, I'm thankful for His presence. Every time we get together and begin to lift Him up, we feel His presence. And the anointing, guess what, is different. The anointing is for warfare. The anointing is for casting out devils. The anointing is for the healing of the sick. The anointing is for the delivering of the bound and the oppressed. The anointing is for setting the captives free. The anointing is for the breakthrough. And when you operate, listen, under the anointing, everything you do then becomes part of your warfare against hell. Under the anointing, your giving is warfare. Under the anointing, your singing is warfare. Under the anointing, clapping your hands is warfare. Under the anointing, your worship is warfare. Under the anointing, just play an instrument, Brother Garen, becomes warfare. The best example that we have to look at is when David played his harp and the evil spirits, the Bible says, left Saul. The secret place is not a hideout from where we run to get away from the enemy. Yes, the secret place is a place of safety for those who dwell there. But the secret place is much more than that. Can you stay with me a little longer? Amen. I'm almost through. Again, the secret place becomes the sacred place. And the sacred place becomes the most desired place. And it's in the secret, sacred, desired place where you cultivate a personal and intimate relationship with the Lord God Himself. Jesus said, enter into the closet and shut the door, and then pray to your Father in secret. And then he said, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. I don't have to tell you when I go to prayer. It's between me and God, and it's the same way with you. The anointing on your life is the reward of dwelling in the secret place. And when you look at Psalm 91, first David talks about all the safety and protection for those secret place dwellers. Then in verse 13, it shifts from safety and protection to authority and power. There is an anointing for protection. There is an anointing for demonstration, meaning for manifesting the power of God over the works of the devil. Psalm 91:13. Let me just read it to you. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now that sounds a lot like Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto thee power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not just some of the power. What's it saying? All the power, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That power is the anointing. And that anointing can only be found, again, where? In the secret place. Hear me this morning. Without the anointing, you're dead in the water. I've got to tell you the truth. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're an invitation to disaster. Yeah. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the key to the abundant life. And David writes, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Yeah. Now, I want to draw your attention to something very powerful. What did David do when he received that new level of anointing to be king over Israel? And he heard that the Philistines were come out against him. Again, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 5:17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came out to seek David, and watch this, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. That word hold means stronghold, fortress, defense. Then in verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Listen to me now. The hold is just another way of saying the secret place. That's what the hole represents. It's the very place where you get everything you need. It's that place where you get energized and revitalized. It's the place where you get instruction and you get directions. It simply means getting along with God, Sister Lydia, in your workshop, in the barn, in the woods, sitting on a stump, in your bedroom with the phones turned off, on my back porch with the chickens at my feet, and the goats and the ducks and the dogs chasing the ducks. Nothing more than a peaceful place like that. In your bedroom with the phones turned off. It simply means this. Watch this. I just recognize that I need divine instruction. And I need divine assistance. Yeah. It is the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. David knew his success was not just in being anointed. He knew that it was a personal fellowship and communion with the Lord Himself. Ruth, would you come on down? Too many believers count too much on themselves. Yes, David knew that he was anointed, but he also knew he had to stay connected, Sister Linda, to the source. Now, you want to know what will make the alarm bells go off in my spirit? It's this, that we are living in the darkest, most treacherous, and most evil times of our entire lives. Watch this. And multitudes of church folk act like nothing is happening and carry on as usual. Now, I'm telling you, that alarms me. I was going to use the word scared, but I scratched through it. I don't live in fear. You need to hear me closely. If you're not aggressively, passionately pressing forward, more than likely, the fact is, you might be just dead in the water. I'm preaching to me today, y'all. I'm preaching to me. David went down into the hole. And I'll say it this way. David got a hold of God, Brandon. David knew he could not rest on past victories. How many has done that? Man, I've done that. I've talked about my past victories and my accomplishments. But guess what? That's not going to take us in our tomorrows. Or our past experiences with God or past anointings. David knew that he needed to wreath that fresh fire of God burning in his life. New Life family, this morning I'm telling you, I don't care how great your past accomplishments are or how many of our experiences, how good they have been, or how anointed we all were at one time. I'm telling you again today, we all need a fresh fire in our lives. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, because guess what? There's three pointing back at me. Hallelujah. We need to get down into the hole. We need to get a hold to God until, guess what? God gets a hold of us. Let's all stand together. We need to cry out to God for a fresh baptism of Holy Ghost fire. Let's just make our way down. I'm almost through. Would you make your way down? Please don't leave if you don't have to. Just gather down here for just a moment. We're going to pray together. We need to cry out to God for a fresh baptism of Holy Ghost fire. Not just in times of trouble, but every day. And I believe what God is trying to lead us into is the revelation, Brandon, of not only having a secret place experience every day, but of living from the secret place. Living from the secret place. When David came out of that hold, he had divine instruction, Daisy. He had divine presence, Belinda. He had divine power. And the Bible says, watch this, in verse 20 of chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters." That's the purpose of the anointing, to smite the enemy and to undo the works of darkness. One last scripture. What does the Bible say that Jesus came to do? 1 John 3:8. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And that is why we must go back into the hold. We got to live there, y'all. We got to stay there into that intimacy with Him. Not just as a refuge from the storm, not just as a hideout, but a place where we are refreshed and we are revived. And then guess what? Once we're refreshed and revived, we can go out to fight another battle, to fight another day. The place where we receive fresh fire and where God downloads orders from headquarters. And the place where we're clothed in with the anointing. And most importantly, the place that we live from. Again, I'm here to tell New Life family This is the time to be with God. And that's what the devil is afraid of. He's afraid, Sister Diane, of the cave dwellers. He's afraid of those that are separated, consecrated ones, who have been in the face of God till you can see God in their faces. And guess what? He's looking at the heart. That's a season that we're in right now. And if we miss that, we've missed it all. Would you say one more time after me, I'm not going to miss it. I understand the season I'm in. And I know what to do. He's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the outside. I'm telling you, Darlene and I, in our early years, we had to find that secret place because we were so bound from legalism, from man, man-made laws. The poor ladies had to wear the skirts below the knee and the sleeves to here, and the guys had to wear long sleeves. Oh my gosh. And then the pastor, they'd see the pastor out on cutting his front yard in his t-shirt. How sad. I mean, if it's for everybody. Thank God I come out of that. Thank God we were delivered from that. Oh my gosh. My sweet wife in the early years, Sunday morning, she would get so aggravated, look in the mirror, she'd throw that brush. But it took us in the secret place to learn what God's Word said, really said. Michael, he was looking at the heart all the time. Sure, we'd address correctly because we represent Him. We're ambassadors. But it's not a legalism thing, man-made laws. Something's wrong when a 500-pound pastor gets up, or preacher, and starts talking to you about how you live it. Amen. I got three fingers pointing back at me. Hallelujah. Let God lead you in everything about your life. He'll tell you what to do. I know what I need to do. Brother Tony's already hit me up last night. He said, you need to do what the Lord's telling you to do. Okay, Brother Tony, I know. You don't have to push my face down in the mud. I already know. It's a personal thing between me and God. I got to love on Him more than I'm loving them puppies. I was trying to go over my message this morning, and Zora was right there, half on the bed and half in my lap, licking my face. And I gave in to Zora. I know it's late. Oh my gosh. Take the person's hand next to you. Don't worry about it. We have some hand sanitizer at the back when you leave. It's okay. It's okay. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the power of God is here right now. The anointing is here in this house right now. I'm telling you. Handorana mahasata bahasata. Lord, it's not me. It's You. Oh, it's all You, Lord. Ha ha ha. Woo. Shanda Mahasata. Lord, let your word take hold in our hearts today. Lord, as we go from this house, don't let us miss an opportunity to let people see You on our faces. Help us to speak what You tell us to speak. Help us to do what You tell us to do. Help us to live and dwell in that secret place. Wherever we're at, we can be in that secret place with You. Handorana mahasata bashata. Oh, Lord, I thank You for every person here today, every man, every woman, in the name of Jesus. Handorana mahasata bashata. Every young person, every child, Lord, do Your work in our lives. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do this week as You bring us back Wednesday night together. And Lord, as we give out groceries Thursday night in our food bank, I thank You that every bag's going to be anointed. Oh, and as they take those things out of that bag, woo! Lord, you're going to touch them. Oh, they won't know. They won't know. They're going to be trembling when they empty that bag because it's got anointing. Anointing has been put on it. Oh, no, as they pull on this parking lot, let them feel your presence. Lord, we're doing it in love. We love people. We love this community. You've brought us for a time as this. You put us here for a time as this. So I thank you, Lord, that we're going to do your work until you blow the trumpet and tell us time is up. Come on home. We're going to do your work. We're not worried about what's going on around us. You'll tell us. You'll give us direction in the secret place. You'll show us what to do. But we're not going to live in fear. We're going to be under your anointing. Oh, I praise you today. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know this is crazy, but Teresa, would you come and would you just pray a prayer over our body? You and Michael, you have ignited us. Oh yeah, we felt it. We know about the anointing. We've been there, but I'm telling you, oh my gosh, what y'all have been inputting in our lives. We thank you. Brandon, would you get her a microphone right quick? Get her the microphone. I just want you to say another prayer. Whatever the Lord gives you, Teresa, as we end today. You might stand there beside her. All right, let's hear her prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for how you're honoring the pastor. I thank you for the plans that you have for them. You've already shown me it's going to explode. There are so many people that need the Holy Spirit that don't even know what that means. And they're going to come looking. And we thank you that you're going to explode this church. I just pray over this church right now that you will move in the people's hearts, that they will know what their specific assignment. You have an assignment for them for what's coming. I know you already do. I've already been seeing it. You're going to put things in order and how you're going to bring this about. And these people are going to be prepared for what's coming. That you're going to shake this land in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You're going to bring the fire. You're going to bring the fire, healings, deliverance.
Yes.
And abundance.
Yes.
I break off a spirit of poverty off of this region, off of this church, in the name of Jesus, that abundance comes. Oh, we call Jesus. Forth the abundance of the Lord that we can do what we're supposed to do. We thank you, Lord. I ask that you go with all these people. If any of these people are sick right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak life over them.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. We ask for supernatural healing for them right now, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Every body part, every ache, everything that the enemy has tried to bring against them, we say no to it right now, in the name of Jesus. We claim your healing. Your blood's enough. Your blood's enough. We thank you, Jesus. We ask that you go with all these people and that they will be the light to wherever they go. That this week that they'll see signs and wonders. And a lot of these people need those little moments. Those little moments that are just for them, from you, Lord. And I ask for those suddenlies for them.
Yes.
And they'll know that they know that they know that it's you. And they'll go, ha, that's my God. So we thank you for what you have in store for us this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh. You go in the name of the Lord. Hey, we have an abundance of bread.